Today's five daf are all combined into one, which is called Daf Pei Zayin. It's only as long as five normal dafim are, so we might have to rush a bit over here. And we begin with, as we promised yesterday, our Capitan. Ha'isha. So now we are about to discuss which Korban Pesach you should eat, because maybe you've got two possibilities in front of you, and you can even choose. You can say, well, how in the heck would that be possible if it's like such a big deal that I should be able to be registered? Remember, I have to be a manui on a Korban Pesach in order to eat it. How could I possibly come into a room and decide, now let's see what looks like it's tastier? Ah, but that would be possible with two considerations. One would be that there would be basis for two people to have reshus to make me a Korban Pesach, and it wasn't clear which one I wanted. If I held Yesh Breira, so then subsequently I could determine which one I wanted. Now, this is a very common kind of situation, which has rather modern implications in terms of human relationships. This would absolutely be a pretty common situation when you're schlepped over to your in-laws. Okay, so over there, the Shaila is, who does your wife really like more, her husband or her family? Now, this is an old question. So the Shaila is, if her husband went ahead and he brought a Korban Pesach for her, and daddy went ahead and he brought a Korban Pesach for her, which one does she really want? So will the real Korban Pesach please stand up? That could be dependent on Breira. Or, obviously, if it isn't that exciting that you actually walk in at the last minute and make your choices, then it could just be a question of which one she says she wants at the time of Shechita, because she's got an option, but it wouldn't be literally. You can walk into your Seder and decide which carbon you want to eat. So we'll see in the Gemara. Yisha bizman shi bebeit ba'ala. So as long as she's at home for Pesach, shachat alea ba'ala, v'shachat alea aviha, tochal mishal ba'ala. So there, when she's at home, if her father continued to bring a Korban Pesach like he used to, and she is nonetheless, now she's married. So if there wasn't an indication which one in advance she wants, so then we assume minastam that she really gave reshus to her husband, and that's the one she wants to be registered on. But what about if, like, the first yontif after she got married, where it's very common to go to your parents' home for a woman, and that was the minig at the time, and remains the minig in many places. So, halcha regel rishon lasot bebeit avia. If on that first Pesach she goes back, it's actually the first regel, which is Pesach in this case, and there, shachat ala avia v'shachat ala ba'ala, so there she can choose whichever one she wants. And here would be the case, tocha b'makom shehirotza. So then, we'll see that it's talking about a specific level of relationship of Ish v'Isha, where we know that she's happy to eat from her husband as well. This seems to be saying that there is Breira, that she can actually walk into the Seder and decide which one she wants to eat at the last moment. It's just a din in achila. Now, how about if you have an orphan where you had two apotroposim that were appointed by Bezdin to take care of his affairs, and they both checked on him, as if he's part of their family. So there, too, he can choose which one he wants. But how about if two people own an eved? Now, that's a problem, because not either of them has reshus to shecht for the other person's portion in this eved. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed as the eved to eat from either of them. Lo yochal bishal shnehem, unless, of course, they worked it out between themselves, and they gave reshus one to the other, so then it would be okay. How about misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin? And that makes it even more interesting. So the person has reshus over himself, but only over half of himself. So let's say that he was owned originally by two partners. One of them freed him, so he has a din of a free man in terms of that half. He brings his own Korban Pesach, but the other part of him is still owned by another guy. So, and he goes ahead, the other guy goes ahead and shechts for him. over there, he cannot eat Mishal Rabo, because the assumption is that when the Rav shechted for him, he shechted only for the part that he owned. Now, obviously, he could have given reshus to the Rav to shecht for my free part as well, but we don't assume that his Adain was being that kind to him, that he was going to actually had in mind for his Tzad Ben Chorin. But anyway, it certainly would appear, says the Gemara, that Yesh Brei Rav, it seems to be saying a woman can walk in at the last minute, and or the Yosem can walk in at the last minute and shush, right? But that would only be possible because we know that the Pesach has to be brought for its minuyim, and that would mean that at the time that we did the Shechita and the Zrika, it meant that at that point she was considered to be a manui, or at that point the Yatom was considered to be a manui. But that's dependent on retroactive determination, which of course we call Brera, and that's not the normative approach when it comes to Dioraita. So why don't we bring a raya from here, the Yesh Brera? No, it says the Gemara, look, I mean, it does sound that way. It's true. She can eat from either of them. But when it says she wants whatever one she wants, it doesn't mean whatever she wants at the time of eating. It means whatever she decided at the time of the Shechita. Now, we seem to take for granted over here a level of relationship which would put her in a position that she would always be desiring to eat from her husband in the case where both of them had shechted for her. And the halacha is that if she went to her father, so then she chooses whichever one she wants. Okay. But I mean, the problem is that in the Braita, it says that Isha regala rishon ochelet mishal avia. Here it says that she definitely eats from her father's, not whichever one she wants. And then after that, meaning any Pesach after that first Yontav, then she chooses. So if she wants, she can eat Mishal Ba'ala. And our Mishnah said that the first Yontav she chooses, but that after that we assume that she wants to eat from her husband. So how do you explain that? Says the Gemara, look, there are different relationships in which there are women who always relate more profoundly to their family home than they do to their husband. So Lokasha. Kan beredufa lelech, kan, because she ain't a redufa. So one refers to a woman who's anxious to always get back to her family. You know, she's always talking about her family, always wants the family. And there's other women who actually like their husbands. And it says, of as Rashi puts it, that it's chaviva leha. She like really enjoys her husband's house. So that would be the difference. Now, the truth is Tosus has a much more complex understanding of the subtleties over here, but Rashi just takes it, we'll learn it Kipshuto, Rashi just takes it as a blanket kind of A or B. So there are women who are redufa leleich, and there are women who are not always anxious to get back home. So therefore, if you're talking about a woman who always would like to go back home, so Enochinami. In that case, then the father always offers her the option. But if she's not like that, then only on the first yontev is over there. We're not sure whether maybe the first yontev that she's going on, maybe then she would actually want to be with her husband or with her father. So there she has to tell us. Okay, so it would be a difference, which is merumas in the pasuk. Now, according to Rashi, the remez in the pasuk is not very strong. It's a little bit of a problem. The way Tosfos learns, it actually does work out as a definition. And because Tosfos learns that every woman is initially redufa, meaning there has to be an opportunity for her to get back home in order to show off her new relationship and to let her parents know that now she's married, she's getting along with her husband, her in-laws like her, so on and so forth. That's the redufa. So Tosfos understands that to be a definition of which Pesach is it that she went home. Is it the first time that she's really showing her parents what her marriage is like? That's how Tosfos understands it. So then the pasuk makes a lot of sense. The way Rashi is learning, the pasuk is just an example of a woman who would like to get home. And here the purpose of that getting home is she wants to let the family know about her relationship, which is a little bit of a problem because then she isn't really Redufa Lalechet. Rashi understood Redufa Lalechet means that she likes her parents' home more than she likes the husband's home. Okay, so you see the problem. But in according to Rashi, it's a looser kind of connection. And the truth is, we're going to see through the entire five daf that we learned today that there's that loose connection in all of the psukim that we're going to be bringing. They are all loose connections to the way that Klal Yisrael is viewed as a woman and has these different levels of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah, and so on and so forth, in all of which we talk about her as a woman. Now, obviously, the Korban Pesach and its relationship to Mishpacha and its connectedness to its being the Mikor and the Yesod of the first time in which we are with our father, so to speak, and we have this special relationship here, as remuzim, and that's why the entire five daf are all about these remuzim to the way in which we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way in which we relate to Torah, and so on. So it says over there in the Pasuk, in Shir HaShirim, Az Hayiti Be'inav Kimotzet Shalom. So at that point, I was like, in the eyes of my lover, I was like a Motzeit Shalom. So what that seems to be referring to is some type of specific relationship that I found. I want to let him know that I found favor in the eyes of my husband. So I was Motzeit Shalom be'enav. That would be the approach. And that is meaning that Kekala, at this point, Klal Yisrael refers to herself as a kala that actually has come to her father's house to tell that she was motzeit shlema bebeit avia v'redufa lelech lagit shvicha bebeit avia. So she wants her parents to know how much she was successful in her marriage, that now her in-laws like her, she feels at home with her husband, and that opens up with the words, which we're going to be talking about later, ani choma v'shadai kemigdalot, az hayiti beinav kemotzeit shalom. And it's important to realize that that's the pasuk, because later on we're going to be talking about the opening of the pasuk. What does it mean when Klal Yisrael, as a woman, talks about her breasts and about how she is the equivalent of a powerful wall? So right now we just bring this in because it's the relationship to our Mishnah. And we know that this kind of thing is true because kedichtiv v'aya bayom ahu ne'um Hashem tikri ishi v'lo tikri ili od ba'ali. So we see that there's a development in Klal Yisrael's own self-perception and in the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where at one point we are just like engaged, so to speak, of course on the level of erusin, and in later on we evolve to see that a husband is a husband, my man. My man is a completely different sense than my husband, and that day will come. And that's a deeper level of intimacy. And that would mean, kikala, says Rabbi Yochanan, bebeit chamia, velo kikala bebeit avia. So when initially the kala, still before nisuin, really lives with her parents, even though she's technically married. This was, of course, in the time when they used to have that year between the erusin and the nisuin. So at later time, there's a deeper intimacy, and that's when I will call you my husband, my man. So my man is a different level of connection, and we see, therefore, that exactly the issue in the Mishnah of how it is that the woman relates to the Korban Pesach is part of the question of how Klal Yisrael itself relates to the Korban Pesach. What is my connection to the Lech Techa Acharei Bamidbar? We're still sitting over there in Mitzrayim. We're eating this Korban Pesach. And that means that it is a developing relationship, which is, of course, part of the whole inyan of the Seder Shel Pesach. Every single year, it has to be rethought, it has to be reiterated, and it has to be redefined by each generation and each individual as they're experiencing it. So, of course, it's a developing and evolving relationship, and that's why we find that the Nevi'im throughout history describe those differences in the development of Yisrael, and this La'asid Lavo, that we will have that relationship that is Merumas and Sefer Rut of Ishi. That was that whole beautiful relationship that develops in the beginning of Sefer Rut for that reason. It's about Geula. So now getting back to the beginning of that pasuk, as I mentioned to you, when we talk about the Az Hayiti Beinav Kemotzei Shalom, it's in reference to the pasuk of Ani Choma V'Shaddai Kemigdolot. So what does this mean? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, when we say Ani Choma, that's a reference to the Torah that protects us as if it's a wall around us. And Shaddai Kemigdolot refers to Talmidei Chachamim, because Talmidei Chachamim are like breasts. We find that in the remez of the Badim that we're going to be talking about, of course, this week in the laning. And that's one keneged Moshe, one keneged Aaron. And we know that Bedavka in the Beis HaMikdash, we put the Aron HaBrit in such a way that you could see the Badim sticking out through the curtain that was there. And it was meant to look like a woman's breasts under her blouse. And that's because we want to have that sense of being suckled and nourished by the Torah, which as Moshe Rabbeinu refers to himself, that he's called an omanat hayonek. He's suckling the little baby Yisrael. So that means in every generation, there's that connectedness of breasts to Talmidei Chachamim, who are the ones that are able to give over the Torah. Rava Amar? No. This is a connection directly to Yisrael, not to what the Torah does for Yisrael or how Yisrael relates to the Torah, but Ani Choma is a reference to the entity that we call Knesset Yisrael. And that Knesset Yisrael is actually the Shekhinah. That's the expression of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which makes much more sense in terms of the end of the pasuk, Az Hayiti Beinav Kemotzei Shalom, that's the actual depth of the connection, which is called in the Zohar all the time, Knesset Yisrael. V'Shaddai Kemigdalot refer to Batei Knesiot, Batei Midrashot. There's places where we feel very comfy and like we're between the breasts of mommy. And that Knesset Yisrael is like a mommy to us. And that's we come into a Beit HaKnesset, we come into a Beit HaMedrash, and we find that we're surrounded by a space of delicious, yummy comfort. Now, that's the comfort that the Torah itself gives us as Knesset Yisrael and our relationship to the Shekhinah. Omer of Zutra Batuvia Omer. What do you think it means when it says, Asher banenu kinetiim megudalim benu'ureihem, kbinotenu kizaviyot mechutavot tavnit echal? So there's other ways in which we talk about Klal Yisrael in terms of the relationship between men and women, just like we have over here in the Mishnah, and just like we pointed out is the profound connection of Klal Yisrael as Knesset Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we find that within the context of Yisrael, we very much value the very special relationship, which is a sexual relationship, but a very controlled and Kodesh relationship, that we find also stressing the relationship between men and women at the period in which they're becoming engaged and connected to each other. So there it says that our boys are like these saplings that are megudalim u'reihem, and they are still nurtured the way they were when they were little babies. We'll see what that means in a moment. And our girls are kizaviyot, they're like the corners that were made on the Beis HaMikdash, tavnit echal. So what that means is, banenu kinetiim, our boys coming to be married, they are like saplings, meaning that they're still suckled, they're innocents, they're like little children. Shalota amutam chet, these are boys that never slept around, and they've been waiting to have a shalem relationship with the woman that they choose. Binotenu kizaviyot refers to betulot Yisrael, who also never sleep around, and ogdot pitchehem leva'alehem, and keep their openings closed. And zavit, as we're going to see, kizaviyot means that are filled to the brim with deep sexual desire, and nonetheless they do not share it with anybody else. They're waiting for the person that they choose. So then that means that zaviyot means filled to the brim, because that's what we're saying. Nonetheless, they keep themselves private. And there, where do we see that zaviyot means something that's overflowing? V'cheinu omer, umal'u kamizrak kizaviyot mizbeach, filled up like the cups that are used to pour the dam on the mizbeach. So that's filled up. We see that it's mal'u specifically. So when you use that lashon of zavit, It's a reference to being filled. That the corners are filled to the brim and they give enough food from one time of harvesting to the next time of harvesting. So that comes after exactly the words of Benotenu. Anyway, getting back to the pasuk before, the mechutavot of nitecha, what does that mean? That it looks like the building of the hechal? Because elu ve'elu, both the boys and the girls, ma'ale aleihem ha'katuv ki'ilu nivna hechal b'yimehem. Because, as we saw before, that the idea of sexual kedusha is the kedusha of Yisrael sleeping with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that the concept of the Beis HaMikdash, as Yaakov Avinu originally found it, was merumas later on as the bedroom. So this is Beit Meloni, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov Bedavka to sleep there as a remes to that connection. So because of that, even a normal Kodesh, boy and girl in Klal Yisrael throughout history, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees them as having built the Beis HaMikdash itself. Getting back to other psukim, in which we find Klal Yisrael the same as a woman. So this is all in order to show that the remez in our Mishnah to the interrelationship of the woman with her husband or with her parents is very much part of the evolution of Yisrael's relationship. So we want to bring other psukim that build on that idea. So we find the Dvar Hashem Asher Haya. So this now is very interesting. We find four places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks specifically to Nevi'im that went through four different Melachim. And this occurs very clearly in Hosea, where it opens up with Dvar Hashem Haya Asher Haya El Hosea Ben Be'eri Bimei Uziyah Yotam Achaz Yechizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. So there were four Melachim that were mentioned. Now note that the Pasuk also very strangely, which we don't find normally, that we mix the time of the Melachim of Yehuda with the Melachim of Yisrael, the Pasuk goes on to say, Uvimei Yeravan ben Yoash Melech Yisrael. And later on, the Gemara is going to question, whoa, why was he Zocha to be listed among the Malchei Yisrael? But in any event, it turns out that there were four such cases where we have Nevi'im that actually lasted as long as four of the Melachim. So what it says over there, Dvar Hashem Asher Haya El Hosea, and then it talks about these four Melachim. Now, this means that Beperek Echad Nitdamu Arba'a Nevi'im. It must be, if we take a look at the way in which we have four Nevi'im that mention these four Melachim, that there were indeed four Nevi'im that actually were in that one period. Now, the truth is, Micha does not mention Uziyahu, but he does mention Yotam. And if we understand Yotam as being, since it doesn't define when during Yotam, remember that Yotam was actually made king by Uziyahu, his father, at the time that Uziyah got Sarat. And the Gemara says that he was tremendously mechabed his father, and he never wanted to say anything that was his own, and that was the tremendous madrega, that if Yotam ben Uziyah was with me, I could bring a kapora to the whole world, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He was tremendous ability he had to resist the temptations of Malchus and the gaiva that comes with Malchus. So anyway, the assumption is that that means that Uziyah was still alive, because it was the beginning of Yotam's reign, which was together with Uziyah. Now that is because of that, we assume that Micha also was together with Uziyah. So therefore, it's as if it said in the Pasuk, all four of them. Now, the greatest of them who started this whole thing off was Hosea. Because it says, Tchilat Dibir Hashem b'Hosea. Now, what is that supposed to mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu started his Nevi'ahs with Hosea. V'chi b'Hosea Dibir Tchila. Halo mimoshe ad Hosea kama Nevi'im. There were so many Nevi'im until Hosea's time. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, what it means is that Hosea was the first of the four Nevi'im who were all saying Nevi'ahs during this same period. So he was Tchila l'arba'a Nevi'im, shenitnabu b'oto ha'perek, who were Hosea, Yeshayahu, Amos, and Micha as to why the Seder of the Nevi'im is messed up. In other words, why do we have Yeshayahu and only much later we have Hosea together with Treyasar? That the Gemara discusses about how it is that we had to put the smaller form together in Treyasar and why we put it there. Okay, but these four were all there together. So now, in Hosea, and this is why he's very central to our discussion, in Hosea we find the very strange story of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells his Navi, Hosea, to go marry a whore and to have kids with her, that he's not even sure are her kids because she's whoring around, and then he should go and divorce her, which is an insane story. How in the world does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to do this to a Navi? So we understand from that there must have been a very, very clear introduction to that story, because like, how would he start off telling him this? So there must have been something that was goreim that story, and we understand that this is what happened. Now, what should he have said? He should have said, my children, these are your children, your beloved children. How in the world do you talk like that about your children? Stop saying bad things about them and talk nicely about them. You know, they're great kids. But he didn't do that. And not only didn't he do that, he said, you know, you own the whole world, which is the Remez and the Rashi and Yisrov. They're all mine, but I don't care. But so he says, it's all yours. But Kili Kol Aretz. Okay, so he says, okay, so Kili Kol Aretz, go choose somebody else. Havi Rainbow Machera, take somebody else. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what a kind of idiot. This guy's probably senile. Ma'ezel Zakein Azeh. So how do I get this senile guy to realize how stupid he is? I know what I'm doing. I'm going to tell him, Omer Lo Leich V'kachi Shazona. So go ahead and take this whore and have Banim Zinunim. You don't even know that they're your kids. And then after he ends up liking these kids, I'll tell him, okay, now divorce your wife, throw out your kids, and we'll see how he likes it. Okay, so fine. So then I'll tell him, Shalchami al panecha. Let's see how easy it is for him, okay? Shenemar, Vayomer Hashem al Hosea, Leich kach lecha eshet znunim, v'yalde znunim, and it says, sure enough, he goes and he takes Gomer bat divlayim. That's a very suggestive name, because Gomer means climax. And the reason that she's called Gomer is because everybody's gomering with her. So she's called Gomer shako gomrimba. So everybody finishes up with her. And why do we call her bat divlayim? So in other words, he took the tzivoy as meaning, whoa, take absolutely the best of the best, meaning the one who's going to be most what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to do. And she's called Divlayim. Why she's called Divlayim is a lotion of Diba. So he wants to take somebody who is not only suffering from her own reputation of being the woman, but she, her mother's the same thing. So we always use that as a curse, you know. So it would be one, the daughter of another. Shmuel says, it's much more than that. Because she was so sweet, everybody's kissing her up like a dvela, like a fig. And a fig is so sweet in everybody's mouth. So they called her divlayim. She's as sweet as two figgies. Rabbi Yochanan, so there she is. Everybody's sucking her out. Rabbi Yochanan says, I call dashimba kidvela. No, a dvela is you press in, and that is a way of referring to intercourse. Everybody is dashimba kidvela. So both words are very sexy words. He takes this woman that is worthless, and davar acher, also people call her gomer. Omar Rav Yehuda, what that means is bikshu legamer mamonim shel Yisrael b'mameha, that during her days, they were going to take out everything from Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you mean? They wanted to. They did. Bozezuv the gomru. Actually, the gomer they did, and they were bozes, because it says before that, ki ibdam melech haram, Vayisimemka afar ladush. So this was that same period that Hazael came and invaded together with Ben-Hadad. And it says that they went ahead. This was during the Zman of Yehoahaz. And therefore, Hosea got this, even though it was much, much later, because he was, that's why we'll see when he mentions Yeravam, because Yeravam was a grandson of Yoachas. So it puts it together with the destruction. So it's a reference to Gomer, what had been happening to the Aseres HaShvatim. But anyway, getting back to Hosea. So sure enough, she has a son, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, call the name of your son with her, call him Yisrael. You know why? Ki od ma'ad ufakadati et mei Yisrael al beit Yehu. I am going to... Now, Lamaisa Yehu did a tremendous thing, didn't he? I mean, he went ahead and he destroyed, like he was supposed to, the entire household of Ahav, and he murders them all in Yisrael. And now it says, I'm going to take the vengeance on all the blood that Yehu spilled. So Chazal say the reason that that was true was because since Yehu afterwards was Nichshal in Avodah Zarah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so now he's like one of them. So who gave him the right to go and to take my revenge from the base Achad? So because of that, I'm gonna take it out on him. Vishbati mamluchut Beit Yisrael, and I'm going to finish up the entire Beit Yisrael, because the other meaning of Yisrael is not only the Emek Yisrael where all that blood was spilled, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Zorea Klal Yisrael all over the world in different places, which means that there will be a tremendous golus that will affect everyone. And that Enoch Inami, that thing did take place at that period, because Yeravam lost the Malucha. His son, who was Zechariah, he was Melech for Shisha Chodashim, and that was the end of it. And that, because of that, it was the last of the Malachim that were part of the Tzivoy Hashem, that were all part of that Shoshelas HaMalchus. So because of that, it's considered to be the end of the Malucha, even though there were Malachim after, but those weren't real Malachim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't given them the Malchus. Anyway, so it says over there that's going to be the end. So Yisrael is a remez to the end. Then Vatar, she has a daughter. This time she has a daughter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, call your daughter, what an amazing name, forget about Ruchama, call her Lo Ruchama. Okay, so this is a remez that I'm not going to care about Klal Yisrael. Lo Sifod et Beit Yisrael. What am I supposed to continue to carry them forever with all of their chatoim? Ki naso esolahem. Then she has a third child who's a son, and Hashem says, call him, Hosea, call him Loami. Ki atem Loami. Vanochi lo eyelachem. I'm not going to be your God. You're not going to be my people. I'm through. Okay, so then, Le'achar shenodeh l'shnei banim u'bat achat, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Hosea and he says, well, you know, Hosea, I mean, you're a heavy-duty Navi now, aren't you? You remember when Moshe became a heavy-duty Navi, he got rid of his wife. I mean, you know, you never know when I might come. You don't think you should have learned from Moshe? Shekivan shedibarti mo perish min ha'isha. Like, where's your derech eretz? Throw your wife out. Afata bedol atzmecha mimena. So he says, Ribono shel olam, yesh li banim mimena. I can't just throw her out. How can I do that? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Idiot! Umatash ishtecha zona banecha b'nei zenunim. Ein ata yodeim shalchayim shalachayim. Everybody else is making out with your supposed wife, and you don't even know these are your own kids. And look how you're talking. Oh, what am I supposed to do? My dear wife. What kind of wife, dear wife? And my dear kids. They're not even your kids. And look how difficult it is for you. And you turn to me and you say to me, yeah, so get rid of your kids. Yeah, take a different wife. See? Very easy, isn't it? So, this is the way you act, Yisrael, or Banai, B'nai B'chunai, B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Echad, Mi'arba, Kinyanim, She'eshli, Ba'olami, Shekaniti, Ba'olami. There's only four things. Wait, stop for a moment. What are those four things? Well, there's Torah, Kinyan Echad, Echsiv Hashem, Kananani, Reshit Darko. There's Shamayim Va'aretz, Tachziv Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. The Beis HaMikdash is the Kinyan Echad, Tachziv Har Zeh Kanta Yimino, and Yisrael, Tachziv Amzu Kanita. So, okay. Anyway, getting back to what the words were, you tell me, Havirim Buma Cheret, like, what's wrong with you? So, oh gosh, he realized what an idiot I am. So, Kivan Shiyada Shechata. So, Amad Levakesh Rachamim Al Atzmo. So he starts talking about himself. You know, I was sorry, and I'm doing tshuva. It's not Kadosh Baruch Hu. You stop talking about yourself all the time. That's the problem. It's always about you. I'm asking you to talk about Klal Yisrael. All because of you, I was just gozer. These three terrible gezeras. What do you think those three children's names were? So Yisrael was a gezera of golos. And lo ruchama means that there's not going to be any midas rachamim. Everything will be midas adin. And that's because of the way that you spoke about them. Okay, so treat them like it's somebody else. And then I also called them that they are not going to be what I will be no say anymore. And because of that, hamadu bikesh rachamim. So he came and he started being mavakesh against each one of these. And because of that, he was zeicha to be mevatel each of these gezeras. How do you see he was about to each of these gezeras? Because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts to be mevarech Klal Yisrael. Because then comes the unbelievable switch all of a sudden. Ve'ayam ispar b'nei Yisrael k'chol ayam. So then all of a sudden we start hearing about these amazing things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them. K'chol ayam asher lo yimad v'lo yisaper. V'haya b'makom asher ye'amer lehem lo amiyatem yomru lehem b'nei el chai. And then it goes on to say, after that, uzrati ali ba'aretz, v'richamti et lo ruchama, v'amarti lelo ami, amiyata, v'hu yomar elohai. So that means each one of these klolas ended up being mishapech to a brocha. So that instead of Yisrael, meaning I'll be Zorea Klal Yisrael among the Umais, it meant I'm going to be mamik, their connection to Eretz Yisrael. Instead of lo ruchama, it becomes bedavka, new commitment to rachamim. Instead of lo ami, it becomes this new commitment to Klal Yisrael as the Am Hashem. So as usual, the tikkun of the thing brings it to a madrega that was even higher than it was before. All right, so now getting back to the Arba. So we said that there were Arba. It's weird that we had four Nevi'im, and all of whom, like, were able to live through the time of four different Malachim. I mean, like, how come they had such greater longevity than the Malachim did? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, why? Because Oyla l'Rabbanut shemekaberet et ba'aleha. Any kind of important position, it's the end. Look at this. All of these Nevi'im, they all survived longer than four Malachim who were one after the other. And then it goes on to say, and these were Malachim that were all one after the other. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, getting back to that opening pasuk that we had in Hosea, which describes strangely Yeravam ben Yoash together with the Malachim that we just listed. Why is that? B'pnei Mazocha Yeravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael, to be Nimna together with the Gedele Malcha Yehuda. That's because he was not Mekabel Lashon Hara. And since he wasn't Mekabel Lashon Hara on Amos Hanavi, he was Zocha to be like the Malchi Yehuda. How do we know? First of all, where does it say that he was listed with that? What do you mean? It says, Dvar Hashem, Asher Hayah Lo Hoshea Ben Be'eri, Bimei Uziyah Yotam Achaz Chizkiyahu Malchi Yehuda, Uvimei Yeravam Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael. Okay, fine. So how do we know he wasn't Mekabel Lashon Hara? Because it says, Beferish, Vayishlach Amatziah Kohen Beit El, El Yeravam Melech Yisrael Lemor, Kashar Alecha, you should know, oh my God, you can't imagine the kind of things that they're saying about you. And, if you would know, you wouldn't be able to hear it. I mean, it says, Lo tuchala aretz lachil et kol dvarav. I mean, it's so mind-boggling that the earth isn't big enough to hear the horrible things that he says about you, that you're going to be killed, and terrible things, which really couldn't have been true because it was haftacha that he would not be killed because he was supposed to dafka be the father of the one that would be the generation that would then be the end of the Malchus. And he writes, Ko amar amoz becherav yamut yiravam, which wasn't even true. So it was like stomp, total Lashon Hara, that was lies. So Yeravam said, Chas v'shalom amar oto tzadikach. Look, It's not true, because it would be against the Gezeirah. And if he did, and there's something I don't know about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change his mind even about a Gezeirah Teva, if he did, well, I'm supposed to be angry at him. Shechinam Ramo. I mean, he says whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. What does this have to do with him? So because of that, he was Zeicha indeed to be together with the Arba Melachim listed from Yehuda. Omar Rabbi Elazar, if you look at these psukim, and you'd be so shocked that afilu b'shat ka'aso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu zocheret harachamim. Here we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Hoshea that it's all over, I don't give a damn, I'm not interested, you're not part of me. And every single thing that he says is all built around his obsession with trying to be merachem on Yisrael. So what does he say? He says, ki lo sif od harachem et beit Yisrael. That's a pretty funny way to talk about destroying people. Well, I'm not going to have all of that love and care. I mean, why don't you say it? I'm going to kill him. No, I can't bring myself to say that. I'm not going to have all the love and care. But the most beautiful pshat that some of the Mefarshei HaMedrash give is, what a weird way to say, lo osif od arachem. It should say, lo osif od lirachem. So it's a Freudian slip. Lo odosif arachem. I know I'm going to do it in the end. It's like, what a beautiful pshat. Okay, so lo odosif arachem. Yeah, right. So that's one right. Rabbi Yezir, Rabbi Chanina says, look at the next pasuk. Ki nosora salayim. Well, I mean, but the way that's it said, Beloshen Tema, but I should continue to be merachem on them and be meichovem. Or you could say, like Rashi, that the way that it's put is still in terms of rachmi. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, you should know that even the Golos, lo yehigla kadosh baruch hu Yisrael beina umot ela kedei shitosfu aleihem geirim. Note that the way that we talk about the Golos is not stam, throw them out. No, it's that they should become seeds of more developing Yisrael. Because that way there will be Gerim that will come to join that otherwise would never have known about Yisroel. If Yisroel was stuck in Eretz Yisroel and nobody knows what's going on over there and all you have is the BDS movements and so on, who's going to pay any attention? Therefore, Shenemar, what does it say over there? Uzerati Ali Ba'aretz. So the Zeria, what is a person Zorea for? Klum Adam Zorea Sa'al Alachlis Kamakurim. So do you take out a sa'av seed in order to bring in tons and tons more than what you planted? So the same thing is true of Klal Yisrael being distributed among the Umas Ha'ilam as seeds that bring back all of these incredible people that never would have been able to be there if it wouldn't have been for the Golas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Miacha. That's why it says, V'richamti et lo ruchama. Who do you think lo ruchama is? Lo ruchama are goyim. And now I will be able to be merachim on those goyim because now they are mine. And that's why it says, Vam Almar lo ami ami atem. Those who were originally not ami now became ami. That's mamash a reference to Gerim. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. My dichtiv, when it says, Al talshein eved el Adonav. So Shlomo HaMelech says, no, don't say Lashon Hara, even about an Eved who's completely misbehaving, don't tell his master. Penya kalalecha ve'ashamta, because maybe he'll curse you and you'll be found to be so full of chait. And it says, the very next passage, Dor aviv yekalel ve'tumalo imolo yevarech, and I'm talking about the worst possible generation, curses their father, doesn't give any covet to the mother. What does that have? I don't get it. Mishum davi v'kalel v'timo livorech, therefore al talshein. No, it means even. Afilu dor shavi v'kalel v'timo livorech al talshein eved et al adonav. Don't tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu and don't speak in a way that is Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael and put articles in the newspaper about how Jews are not being careful about this and that. That is exactly what it's referring to. Minolan from Hoshea. Because he was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Odin of Yisrael, about the Eved. And look how he got into trouble from it. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, my dichtiv, tzitkot pirzono b'Yisrael. So when Dvorah is singing about the war and the amazing thing So the Pashto is Sitkot Pirzono that Klal Yisrael will be Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that now we live securely. And before then, we couldn't even travel and we were attacked all the time and had to live in strongholds. And now we can live in Arei HaPrazot that are unprotected. We can move all over the country and we don't have to worry about being attacked. But what we're darshaning is that it's Bloshen of Pizur, not Pirzon. So Tzedakah Asah Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Klal Yisrael was given a great gift that in their Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread them all over the world. Why? Because that way you can't have people coming up with a final solution for the Jewish people because they'll never be able to get all of them. And Hainu, the Omer Lehu Mina L'Rabbi Chanina, so this Christian says to Rabbi Chanina, listen, look at the difference between our level of morality, says in Rome, then your level of morality. Over there you had Yoav being Shishachod Hashim, Yashav Sham in Edom, and it says that he killed out Kol Zachar be'Edom. You are a bunch of genocidal maniacs, and you've been with us for years. Yilu Anan, you've been with us for so many decades. V'lokav din al-chumidi, did we ever do anything like that to you? So Rabbi Chanina says, you know, that's not much of a brilliant argument. But I can give you one of my kids over here that is learning with me to answer. Is that okay? All right. So, Ritzoncha yitapelecha talmid echad. I'll select a certain Talmud. So he selects, of course, Moshe Forman. I mean, Rabbi Hoshaya to deal with him. And nitbalo Rabbi Hoshaya. And Rabbi Hoshaya says, well, of course you never did anything to us because you couldn't come up with a final solution. Mishum delo yadito echi tavdun. You couldn't figure out how you're going to get rid of us. Tachlinan kulu, destroy all of us, right? You can't, because we're not all in Rome. Okay, so litnu gabaychu, we're not with you. So then you'll say, okay, so let's at least kill out all the Jews that we can. You can't do that, because then these Jews, they're like, they control the media, as you know, all over the world. You can't imagine how the world is going to look at you as you being a bunch of genocidal maniacs, right? So if you do that, kari lachal malchuta kitiyata. So then they're going to call you. What kind of primitive people are these? And, you know, so the only time you can really act against us is when you've got sufficient control of the world. Then you can present the final solution and then everybody's happy. But until then, you're not going to be able to do anything to us. Omar Lai, so the guy said, damn, are you smart? The Hanach, I swear by Gapa de Romai, by the feather of Rome, I swear, this is what we think about all the time. How the heck can we get rid of all of them? So Baha Nachtina, Baha Salkina, we go down, we come up. This is always on our mind. But the day will come. We'll figure it out. Anyway, Tani Rabbi Chiya, my dechtiv, Elohim hevin darka, vuhu yada et mikoma. So here Iov is referring to the Torah. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the derech of Torah, and he knows where she belongs, meaning that there has to be the creation of a proper context for Torah. So Yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Yisrael she'enem yecholim lekabel gzerot achzariot from Edom. Lefichach yigla otam labava. He knows that Klal Yisrael would never be able to continue learning Torah with all of the persecution that comes from Edom. And because of that, he sent the Golus to Bavel first in order to establish the yeshivas in Bavel. Bavel was very tolerant. That was the entire idea of the religious freedom that we find originally in Bavel. And so because of that, it was like a way to preserve Torah in Golus for Yisrael, so that even afterwards, when you have all of these other umos or really murderers and everything else, there was a place that would provide a secure Torah. For Omar Rabbi Elazar, lo yigla kadosh baruch hu Yisrael Bavel al nesha amuka kisha'ol. Bavel is like hell. So it's deep, meaning it's in the emek. And because of that, it always says that once you go to Sha'ol, miyad Sha'ol efdei mimavet egalim. So in some way, to be able to be mekayim, the fact that you're miyad Sha'ol is mekariv the gula to you. Rabbi Chanina says, that's not why. It's because they speak Aramaic there. And since they speak Aramaic, you will still maintain your knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh, because it's very similar to Hebrew. And because of that, at least the Targum, all of the things you'll be connected still to Torah, and you're not going to end up learning out of art scrolls. So because of that, he sent us to Bavel specifically. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, look, it's very primal, you know. When you send a wife away, where do you send her to? A shelter? You send her to her parents' home. Go back home, baby. I'm tired. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Klal Yisrael back to where they came from. So Avram Avinu had started off that journey in Ur Kasdim. So that was the beginnings. So okay, so go back home. So he sent us back to Bavel. So because Lehechan Mishagra, Moshe Adam Shekaz Halishto, Lehechan Mishagra, sends her back to her family home. Vayna de Rab Alexandri, Domar Rab Alexandri. There were three things in the world that went back home to the way they were. The Elohim, Yisrael, which was what we just discussed, Kesef Mitzrayim, all the money that we took from Mitzrayim when we left Mitzrayim and on the Yamsuf, that went back to Mitzrayim, as we're going to show, and the writing that was on the Luchas that came from the Shemayim went back up to the Shemayim. Yisrael, that's what we just said. That's Bavel. And went back home. Kesef Mitzrayim, because it says, Vayhi b'shana chamishit ha-melech Rechavam, Allah shishak melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. And he went up, and then the next pasuk says that he took all of the otzrot, Vayikach et otzrot b'et Hashem, v'et otzrot b'et ha-melech, et ha-kolakach, v'et kol meginei ha-zahav, everything he took, and all of that he took back to Mitzrayim. So that means that he had all of that wealth that had come originally from Mitzrayim. And the Ketav Luchot, how do we know that the writing in the Luchot went back up to the Shamayim? Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, Va'ashabrim le'enechem, I broke these Luchos in front of your eyes, which means, whoa, you saw something amazing with your eyes. It's le'enechem. It doesn't say lifnechem, but le'enechem, there was something there that you saw that like, pulled your eyes to look at the Pella that you were looking at. And that was the Ktav of the Luchot that went up. Tana Luchot Nishburu, and the Otiot Porchu, the letters flew up back to the Shamayim and went back to where they were. Ula Amar, the reason that they went to Bavel is for dates. Bavel is full of dates. As Saddam Hussein said, let them try to starve us out. We've got enough dates to eat for decades. So it was still true. So because of that, they can sit. They don't have to worry about making a living. They don't have to worry about going to Kollel. They can simply sit under a date tree, eat the dates, and then they can be Isaac and Torah all day long. So because of that, it's perfect. Ula once came to Pumbedisa, and they bring him a basket of dates. He's amazed. Wow. I mean, how's she got to pay for a basket of dates like that? We get three of these for a buck. Oh, my God, he says. You get a basket of honey like this for a zuz? Like, this is insane. This is like living for free. And these idiots that live over here, they don't learn Torah all day and all night when they don't have to even think about anything else. You just need to sit under a tree and learn Torah for your whole life. Man, what a life. Wish I could live here. Anyway, he eats a bunch of dates, sits and learns. Oh, my God. That night, he was up all night with diarrhea. Let me tell you, he was sick to his stomach. And he wakes up. He says, oh, my God, you buy a whole basket of poison, deadly poison, for just $1? And these guys are still learning over here? I can't believe it. Ubavloi aski bioraisa. They're amazing. All right. There's always two ways to look at things.